This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Won't you guess my name?
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! It is good to have you listening on a Monday. Normally, coming off of a Falcon weekend, we call it Falcon Monday, and we'll do plenty of that during the regular season, and we will talk plenty about what we saw and what you thought about our first preseason game. There is a lot going on. A lot happened over the weekend. The Dogs had their first official scrimmage, as did Georgia Tech, which we'll get into coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. The Braves have a good showing over the weekend and win a very important series, which we'll talk plenty about. But, Mike, you know, it's funny because with all that going on and football being back, the story was Tiger Woods. And over the weekend, you know, we find out that CBS's ratings were the highest they've been in 9 years.
What was the number up, like 69%?
69%.
And that's just a reflection, and no disrespect to the guys that are kicking butt on tour right now, like a Jordan Spieth, a Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, you know, all those guys. But Tiger still packs him in. And Brooks Koepka is kind of like what Tiger was in his heyday. He's cold. He's an assassin. He's not a real emotional guy. Barely said like 7 or 8 words when he receives the Wanamaker Trophy. But that's his style. And unfortunately, Peter Costas, the golf announcer for CBS, said, look, let's talk about Brooks Koepka. Yeah, but Tiger is competitive. Tiger is the guy that everybody's tuning in to see. So it is a shame that, yes, lost in the spotlight, a guy wins 2 majors and will be golfer of the year in Brooks Koepka. But Tiger was giving you that dynamic. He's never had that low a round in a final round of a major in his storied career.
The thing for me is, you know, the idea that I would never believe that he could win a major again. And I'm fine with saying I was wrong. I truly believe, again, that he is in position to win a major. Now, we know it's not going to happen this year, but as next season rolls around, guys, and you look at how his body is healed and where his swing is at and now where his confidence is at, I think, you know, we have to put things in perspective. He will be in contention. He's 42 years old. He will be in contention to win maybe one or multiple majors. Now, again, we know he's chasing Jack. He's got 14. Jack has 18. But, Mike, the big thing for me is Jack finished second the most, more times than anyone else.
Right.
19 second place finishes in majors. So when you talk about all the majors that Jack won, this was disappointing yesterday to not see Tiger win because of, you know, the all that was going on. But Jack, as great as he was, came in second a whole lot.
And if you take away 2 holes on the final round in the British Open this year and you take away that 17th at par 5, you know, Tiger may have been in a playoff for 2 of the majors this year. I mean, and that's not, you know, fantasy. That's a reality. So, yeah, man, it's so much fun to watch. And I found myself yelling at the TV, man, you get in there. It was just so much fun. And as you said, the numbers speak for themselves. So, you know, folks who want to poo-poo Tiger. I just read the book, and I encourage guys, too, because I learned a lot about it. Now I understand why people hated him so much. Mm. I didn't know all the stuff that went down back then. But, you know, to see him, and how about in the interview, how loose he is now? Could you ever imagine Tiger coming up, like, you know, in second place in a tournament in years past and being that jovial and smiling? You know, and actually, you know, having fun, talking about what he just did. It's kind of cool to see.
It was, and I also think, Mike, that's a function of realizing that he didn't think he'd be back here. You know, he didn't. On his performance, here's what Tiger had to say after the round finished yesterday.
I played hard. A bit of a struggle with my game today. I was hanging in there, just grinding it out and trying to make as many birdies as possible. This golf course was giving it up, and I made a little bit of a run, and it looks like I'm going to come up a couple shots.
So he came in Sunday, for those who missed it, 4 shots off the lead. It got really interesting as the front nine played out. For me, the magical wow moment was the 9th hole, in which Tiger needed a shot, which was basically he needed to bend it around the gallery. It was a hooking iron.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to tell you, most people went, there's no way he's going to get on. And from where he was, because he didn't hit a fairway, guys, he couldn't hit the fairway to save his life. And he hits this hooking iron, and all of a sudden he's on, and that was a Tiger moment. Those are the moments in which we've watched over the years. And for those, you know, millennials who didn't see Tiger in his prime, okay, where he was winning everything,
right,
that's why we fell in love with his game. I'm not talking about the person. You feel however you feel. I'm talking about the greatness of golf. And, Mike, for me, one other thing as we talk about Tiger Woods, and we'd love to hear from you at 404-741-0929 on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We also invite you to follow us across all social media platforms, guys. Like us on Facebook at 929 The Game. Follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes. There's no other athlete, American athlete, that garners what you saw yesterday. Tom Brady doesn't. LeBron doesn't. The gallery was insane yesterday. And there were people who are fringe fans or could care less about golf,
right,
that were watching. That's transcending your sport to a whole nother level. And that is what this guy has done. So big congratulations to Brooks Koepka, who was amazing yesterday, as Mike mentioned. But the story, unfortunately, was what we saw in Tiger's game, which I think most of us never thought we'd see.
And that's just it. Now, you got to wait a while, as Carl said, till we get to the Masters next year. But he's put Jim Furyk in an interesting spot with the team captain decisions now for the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup's outside Paris this year. Is going to be an amazing tournament, or I should say a competition. And Tiger now goes from, like, not even ranked. He was, like, in the thousands to 29th. And, that, I mean, it's amazing now, 19 in the world. So Tiger just jumps up all the stats. Now the Tour Championship at Eastlake, I can't imagine how those ticket sales, if they weren't already sold out, are not going to obviously jump, you know, through the roof, because people want to see Tiger because he's back in the mix. So wouldn't that be something if Tiger could come in, maybe win at Eastlake and win himself a nice boatload of cash? And then, again, he wants to compete. Unlike some guys, he wants to represent the United States. So he made the case to put me on that squad after the round yesterday out in St. Louis.
Hey, guys, coming up, we're going to talk to Ken Segura about Georgia Tech's first scrimmage and what they have coming up. A couple of injuries that happened over the weekend. We'll get caught up as Ken covers Georgia Tech football for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Also coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, our buddy Arati Nubalzi, who covers the Dogs, will talk about their first scrimmage. Kirby sounding like he was pretty pleased as we gear up for the college football season. But, Mike, you know, I got to tell you, man, we left here Friday. We're feeling good. Hey, going to have a couple of cocktails. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to watch a little bit of this Falcon football game. I don't know if I've been more disappointed in an effort by our Falcons team than I was over the weekend. And Friday for me, Mike, it wasn't just the first team. And I know we're going to get deep into this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody did, Jack. First, second, third, fourth, it didn't matter. I mean, nobody really was impressive at all in this scrimmage, if you want to call it that, or preseason game, outside of who? KZ, maybe?
Yeah, Devontae Casey. And even he had some missed tackles, too. But he was a guy that, you know, certainly. And Arch told us to watch out for Devontae Casey, and he did make some plays. But I was at the Braves game, and I started getting texts, like, by 7:30. I'm getting texts at, like, 8 o'clock. This game is awful. Wait till you see this game, because I DVR'd it. And I was joking around with John and Rick. I literally, Carl, felt like I was back in, like, junior high school, and I was trying to do some homework, like on a Monday morning before going to school. I watched the game on Saturday morning, and I had breakfast, and I'm like, God-awful. I mean, A, it's preseason, so have some perspective, guys. Once the first team is out, it's simply about the coaching staff evaluating players. That's all it is, putting guys in situations and see how they handle it. But the problem was, Carl, you had so many penalties with the first team. You had no semblance of a rhythm. You had all, and another thing, we'll talk more about this today in the NFL Blitz. It wasn't just the Falcons. The refs are going so overboard with this helmet and leading with your head stuff that nobody has any idea what the penalty is, and the Falcons were victim of a number of calls in that area.
Yeah, when we break this down, just from a statistical standpoint, Dan Quinn can't be happy. And we'll let you hear what Coach had to say, but it wasn't a Dan Quinn-coached effort. It just wasn't. And it wasn't about winning and losing. It just felt like no one was making plays and guys were not doing their jobs. That's not how it's supposed to feel in the preseason. So, again, I could care less about whether we go 1-4 or 4-0, which we won't. But, Mike, you got to do some things that make you feel good heading into the regular season. And I got to be honest, I'm curious to see what that checkboard looks like up at Flowery Branch.
Now, guys, before we start freaking out about this, now, it was an awful game, but two things. First team, I just laid it out, offense, couldn't do anything. They were only going to do one series, and it was so many penalties, it was just an absolute blank show. I'm surprised they didn't let them go out there again just to try to get in some kind of rhythm. Defense created a three and out. Defense got a three and out and got off the field. The starters. And then after that, you had a mixed bag of starters, guys trying to make the team, some reserves in there. But you're right. Duke Riley was a guy that apparently drew the ire of a lot of Falcon fans. I know Rick Hamill just talked about it, getting caught flat-footed. He wasn't the only linebacker and defensive back. But a lot of times, just out of position, strange how the Dan Quinn defense had no flow, to your point.
For me, it's, again, not about the ability of Duke Riley, because the guy can play. It's his technique. You know, playing linebacker, what he's attempting to do in many cases, it wasn't that he didn't make the play. He couldn't make the play because he was out of position due to his technique. You know, outside shoulder is supposed to be free. He's getting blocked inside. He can't get there. He's supposed to be running to the ball, opposite side. There were just little football things that bugged me, Mike, and I'm going, dude, you're in your second year. These are the things you got to be better at.
Right, and we actually did say to a couple of Falcon fans last week and the week before that Duke Riley was looking better in practice. It's one of those things that we noticed in some of the scrimmage scenarios and when they actually had him out on the field. Okay, it looks like Duke's picking it up. Well, take all that and throw it out because you're right. Lost in space or flat-footed as a running back's coming right at him.
Yeah, 404-741-0929. And by the way, it's not personal. It's business. We always want the best out of our football team. And for us, Duke's going to be a big part of what we do defensively. I mean, you're a third-round pick, again, who basically lost your job last year after you missed too many tackles. That can't happen this year if you are going to be an impactful player for our defense.
Well, I mean, so far, at least from that Jets game, if you're trying to impress the coaches, let alone the fans, that's not happening. And I think we also have to realize, Carl, that we get maybe a little spoiled after the 16 draft class. Devondre Campbell, Debo, Keanu Neal, Brian Poole is an undrafted free agent. All those guys contributing. We think Riley will just plug in like those guys, and he hasn't been able to so far.
Not yet. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, guys. Happy Monday. We'll tell you the latest on what's going on with the Braves. We've got some headlines coming up, but right now let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Button up. B-U-T-T-O-N. Button.
Button. Button. The hardest zipper. The hardest button to button. That's a White Stripes song. Button, guys. Hit button. B-U-T-T-O-N goes to 72881. We're winding down our national signing bonus contest. We'd like to make you another winner with us. Button. Text it right now. 72881.
All right. What were the positives from the Falcons' first preseason game of the year?
Did you write some down? Because I didn't have any.
I didn't either, but we'll talk about it next.
Here. Our Falcons play... Here, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I don't want to be a player no more. It's Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday. Hey, man. Chiefs come in here on Friday for the Falcons' second preseason game. And, of course, you'll be able to listen to it right here. Pre-game at 5, 7 o'clock kick. And hopefully our team fares a little bit better. Again, not caring about the wins or losses. I just wanted to see some rhythm with the offense, Mike. I think that was the most frustrating thing. We've talked all offseason about the offense. Right. Now, I know Julio and Free didn't play, and guy hit me up and was kind of upset, like, Dukes, no Julio, no Free. Okay, I forgot. We rolled 11 other scrubs out there. I apologize.
You get the MVP, you get Calvin Ridley, Sanu, et cetera.
I'm sorry.
But no, I mean, one way to look at it is one guy hit us up on Twitter, and you can follow us. He's put him up, C Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Follow us at Dukes and Bell 929. And one guy said, well, remember, you got Julio healthy, Free healthy. And I get that. Alex Mack healthy. Understand. That's a good point. But, I mean, we just want to see some kind of a rhythm. You know, something established. And look, the defense, as I said, defensive starters created three and out against Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, okay. By the way, Deion Jones. Thank you.
Right?
Deion looked like he was playing midseason form. Thank you, Deion. Debo.
I mean, and that's what we're shooting for, unfortunately. Yeah, it was just tough to watch. There's just, I mean, you had a combination of sloppy penalties. And it just, it almost as a Falcon fan, you felt like, really, the ref's going to call everything on us now? Because that's the way it felt, because we were sloppy. We were sloppy. And then you throw in this ridiculous leading with your helmet nonsense, which now no one understands. So let me get this straight, Carl. At the moment of impact, within the last 2 yards of me closing on a guy running about 20 miles an hour, I'm not supposed to turn my head away and tackle like I'm belly flopping. I mean, how are you physically supposed to tackle someone in a bang-bang play across the middle of the field? I mean, if Rich McKay would like to come on and explain all the other guys in suits and the competition committee figured this one out, I'd love to know.
I don't know how aggressively the officials are going to call this when the season rolls around. I'm in the belief that they're going to overdo it, as we've talked about in the preseason, to get guys acclimated to at least being aware.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to work. Because, again, you can call 50 flags in the preseason. When the regular season rolls around, Mike, and the adrenaline is flowing and you're in front of your home crowd or on the road and the juice is flowing, I can't tell you that I'm going to think in that moment, oh, I can't do that. So we'll see, guys. But, you know, the bigger issue, and I think this is a discussion we were having, and we'll get more into in the Blitz coming up in about 30 minutes. You were talking about the idea of it being called so frequently, how it's taking away from the game.
Right. Now, if they're going to call it like this during the regular season, football ratings are going to go down. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen this year, next year. But you're going to start to kill the sport. And I always use NASCAR as the same analogy, because NASCAR started changing their rules, got away from, lost their core fan group. And if you were watching preseason football, you are a core fan. You're a hardcore fan if you're watching three quarters of the Falcons Jets. You know, the casual fan who tunes in for the big Monday night matchups or Sunday game, that's different. But, I mean, you've conditioned us to expect a brand of football, and now you're getting away with it or getting away from it with some really peculiar rules. By the way, Kate McDown, who started for the Jets, we got him off the field. It was three and out. And here's what we got. We got an illegal shift, two guys moving at the same time,
right.
basic summer football stuff. Then we had a legal block above the waist, two big penalties, put you at second and 20, third and 22. So we had no shot, and then the starters are out.
Correct.
So that's all you got to see of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Those penalties, inexcusable. Like, I get it. It's the first preseason game. A double shift? Like you didn't know what you guys were running before you ran out there? I mean, that's the thing that bugs me, Mike. Mm-hmm. If you're a little nerves or jitters, okay, fine. But I just think the penalties really hurt, which we'll talk more about. It is Dukes and Bell, man. Coming up, by the way, we'll talk to Ken Segura about Georgia Tech's spring scrimmage, the first one that they had, what Paul Johnson think, and what is this offense truly going to look like? They've got a lot of guys returning, a very good offensive line. A lot of people think Georgia Tech's going to put points up like they did a few years ago. But right now, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Coach Quinn, what did you think about the first preseason game?
In many instances in this training camp, we've really, showed who we can be, and I'm disappointed that we weren't able to show that tonight.
Okay, so I'm glad I wasn't the only one. How disappointed was Coach? I don't know. But certainly, as we said, there were a couple of there was one positive in DeMonte KZ. Outside of that, and I'm being real, Falcon fans, you text us, 404-741-0929. What was the positives? I mean, we didn't see enough of Matt, didn't see enough of Coleman. The attempted screen pass to Ridley gets blown up. Okay, defensively. I mean, I'm looking and searching. So that's the thing that I think coming into this second game, Mike, that you want to leave the game and go, well, there are a lot of things I feel good about.
Well, as we said, the penalties were massive. You had 254 total yards of offense. I think what do you have, like 49 at halftime?
Yes.
I mean, there was no rhythm. There was no flow. And the Jets, for what it's worth, they had a nice little sort of pep in their step, and they're doing some misdirection, and they had some really wide-open plays out there. So Jets fans are happy. All my friends I went to high school with are chirping. I said, okay, so what is this Week 1 preseason championship trophy look like? But I guess if you're a Jets fan, you're always looking for a silver lining. But you're right. I mean, we're healthy. We're healthier than a lot of teams already. A lot of big injuries. We'll cover that in the NFL Blitz. But, yeah, just a total lack of execution on both sides. And again, don't overreact. What can you be mad about? Starters had too many penalties. They're in for one series. Defense got its job done. The backups were awful.
Across the board, backups were awful. We gave up 80% completions. Okay, so basically we allowed the Jets to complete 80% of the passes all night. That cannot happen. I don't care what position or what string you're on. And then other thing, Mike, we only rushed for 2.2 yards a carry. It's not enough.
Right.
So, you know, just little things like that. We'll see where it goes Friday. We'll start talking about the Chiefs here. But as we reflect today, you know, again, I think our team is really good. And I think we've got a lot to get excited about. But that effort was just, it didn't feel good, and certainly I know Coach Quinn feels the same way.
But as we said, you got plenty of time to get this thing straightened out. Now, again, if you continue to lay eggs, then we'll definitely be concerned. But week three when we play Miami, that's one where you certainly start to, or week four, week three is the Jaguars. Week four is Miami. But the Jaguars, a good defensive front, and that'll be interesting because offensive line is a concern for a number of fans. How good is that offensive line going to be, whether it's Fusco or you really think Schweitzer can win this job? We'll find out.
Hey, real quick, Dan Quinn was asked about playing on the road. Come on, he said no excuses.
For these young guys, their first padded practice was in a stadium with 50,000 people and rain days, military days. We try to stress them as much as we can, so no excuses from our end, man. Anybody, any place, any time is a motto, and we did not live up to that. So let's give credit to the other side, but we got work to do, and let's make sure this weekend coming up we play in our style that we like to attack and get after people.
I'm just glad I didn't bring out my Brotherhood leather vest. You know, usually at home, that's how I'm watching the game.
Anytime, anyone, anywhere.
Anywhere,
Carl.
Anytime.
But, you know, the other thing was for guys out there that are saying, well, look, don't overreact. And you guys, you're a Sports Talk radio host, and now you're going to manufacture something out of a lousy 17-0 loss. Don't look at me or Carl. Look at Marquand Manuel. He's the guy who called the entire defense into a circle and started screaming at them with about 10 minutes left in the first half. So the coaches were obviously not feeling the effort because they were out there putting these guys on blast.
You can think whatever you want, Playboy. Okay? Honestly. I know what I saw. We sucked. I'm hoping we're not talking about that 15 weeks of the season. I hope we're talking about a winning right. year. When we suck, we suck. Stop making things out of nothing. Not making anything out of anything. We weren't any good. And Mike's right. Why'd the damn defensive coordinator call guys over in a preseason game if it didn't matter?
Right.
I mean, come on. Anywho. So,
again, I would imagine if you're looking for some teaching moments, the entire game was some teaching moments. Or do you burn that tape? Either way, coaching staff will be all over those guys that are out there working today. Flowery Branch, and now we'll see what we got against the Chiefs coming up on Friday.
All right, man. In other news, the Dogs had a big scrimmage, their first one. Kirby Smart, what were your thoughts on it?
I was pleased with the effort and toughness in the scrimmage. We had some physical hits, good striking, good toughness, and I challenged the guys that that's what I wanted to see.
So physical, striking, toughness. Okay. Now, you know Kirby's not going to play his hand. He's not going to tell you. Boy, I tell you what, Fromm's going to throw for 50,000 yards. He's not going to tell you that. But he did say, Mike, the quarterbacks he thought played really well, both of them. That includes Justin Fields, obviously Fromm. What about the physicality during the scrimmage, Coach?
There was some physicality out there. A lot of it was receivers cracking DBs. And to me, that's what creates toughness in your team, is how many guys are physically tough and not weakened by the 50th blow and the 55th blow and the 57th blow. And we play 60 snaps today. So how many of those snaps are you striking somebody and playing tough and physical on? That part, they answered the bell on.
You know, changing the culture was the mandate for Kirby when he took over from Mark Richt, and everything from, you know, the weight training, the offensive line getting tougher, all the things he just talked about, that's part of it. But there is a fine line, and there was the invariable question I guess a lot of coaches are getting asked this week around the college world of football, is about how DJ Durkin handled his thing at Maryland, where a guy died of a heat stroke, and now there's a huge lawsuit. And I was hoping that Kirby wouldn't take the bait on this, but he kind of went down the road. What do you think of the answer?
Well, Kirby was asked, as well as Will Muschamp, on the Maryland situation. Now, understand that Durkin, who's now at Maryland, was an assistant under Muschamp. And Will kind of went in.
Well, I think the big thing is criticism. You need to criticize the performance, not the performer. And I think that that's something we talk about as a staff a lot. And there's a certain way you can talk to a young man and about how he's playing and what he needs to do to improve. You know what? I know DJ Durkin. He worked for me for 4 years at the University of Florida. He is an outstanding football coach. But he's also an outstanding husband and a father, and he treats people with respect. And I will use your word, alleged article. There's no credibility in anonymous sources. You know, if that former staffer had any guts, why didn't he put his name on that? I think that's gutless. And in any business, and in any company, and in any football team, especially right here in August, you can find a disgruntled player that's probably not playing. So I think it's a lack of journalistic integrity to print things with anonymous sources.
Whoa!
But I know DJ Durkin personally, and I know what kind of man he is. I know what kind of person he is. I talked to him this morning, and I don't think it's right. So next question.
Right. Well, Will did take the bait on that one, huh?
Well, it's funny because as you heard him start out, you kind of go, where the hell's Coach going? I think the big thing is that you need to criticize the performance, not the performer. He completely turns left and then goes in on the fact that this report about DJ Durkin. Let me say this. This whole thing about anonymous sources. Now, is it gutless when guys don't put their name on it? If I have a story, Mike, and I run with it,
right?
That's different. Okay, I'm willing to tell you this is where I got the story. Mm-hmm. But anonymous sources... Hello, that's how this game is played.
Well, that's how they got Nixon. I mean, that's how Woodward and Bernstein got the ball rolling on the Watergate investigation with anonymous sources. So I get it. I understand where a coach wants a man to, if you're going to call a guy out, he wants to know who said it, you know, stand up and own it. In the case of Maryland, and also involves the former Georgia athletic director, Damon Evans now, of course, is running the show at Maryland. He's the one who puts DJ Durkin and some members of the training staff on administrative leave as they're looking at a monstrous lawsuit from the family of Jordan McNair, the offensive lineman who died of heat stroke. And apparently, look, there's a lot of coaches out there that you know are hard, and now in 2018, can you do it that way and get away with it? If you really are over that line, I think most people and most guys who played football know where that line is, and now it's up to the law enforcement or the internal investigation first to see where Maryland went with this.
They are calling for his job, not some. The attorney of the young man who ultimately passed away is saying that Durkin should be fired. I don't know where Maryland's going with this. I do know they open up against Texas. We'll see if he's on the sidelines. Hey, coming up, Kent Segura. We'll talk Georgia Tech next on Dukes and Bell.
Can's play. Here, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
College football season right around the corner. And we wanted to get caught up on what's going on with Georgia Tech. So we bring in our guy, Kent Segura, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who covers Georgia Tech football. And, of course, they had a closed practice scrimmage as well over the weekend, as the Dogs did. And more about the Dogs coming up at 4 o'clock.
I believe the audio we're using for the intro is actually from when Bobby Dodd was coaching Georgia Tech there, Carl. So let's talk to our man, Ken Segura. Ken, man, let's just start with the defense. We'll get to all the big names on the offense in a second. But how good do you think the 3-4 defense is going to be this year?
I think it'll be better. I mean, I think, you know, just I think what you hear from players is they're excited about it and they feel like they play more aggressively and it fits maybe their personnel a little better. Even the guys in the offense were kind of saying some of the same things, that it's just a much more aggressive style. And I think the other thing too is what they said is that it's simpler. And obviously every time there's a new coordinator, you know, players are going to say things like that. But yeah, I think just the way that he's, you know, Nate Woody, the coordinator, has done it at Appalachian State with guys that are not the 4 and 5 stars, and clearly how he's done against power conference teams kind of says something about how he's able to get guys to play at a higher level. And I think, too, I think, you know, they just kind of given the way that Paul Johnson plays, that they're playing a low possession ball control offense. If you've got a defense that's going to get to the ball a couple times in a short field, they're really going to change things for you. So, I you know, you never know for sure, but I think it'll be better.
Well, I've heard, because obviously most of these practices have been closed, but, you know, the tempo has picked up since Nate Woody's taken over. And one of the things that the players are talking about is, you know, as we used to say, on the hop, moving around all the time. You know, you're running from station to station. You're always giving 100. And so they were saying the tempo has picked up. Do you think that translates to the style and attacking style that he wants to play?
I think so, yeah. One thing that a lot of players have said when they've come in for interviews is that, you know, everybody had to run under the ball every single play. And I guess one of the things that you kind of wonder, like, why wasn't that as much previously, but I think what they're saying is like, but yeah, so I think maybe guys are playing faster, you're probably using more players because you're, you know, they're playing with a little more effort potentially. And so, yeah, I think that's something you can definitely see out of this defense, you know, when they kick off in a little less than a month.
It is Ken Segura with us here, guys, from the AJC. He's been covering Georgia Tech for many years. He's given us the breakdown as, you know, it's, and Ken, call us crazy, but I mean, big picture, Carl and I have said this is one of those years where maybe this is one of those years where they go and win 9 or 10 games because of the offense, quarterback with experience, really good offensive line, and now a defense that maybe can get a couple of holds in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with this team is that they're, I mean, even like last year where they won 5 games and they were disappointment. They could have won. They almost beat Miami. They almost beat Tennessee, and then Virginia also. That's so it's 3 games right there that, you know, it's one of the things that every team can say. But they could have won 8 games last season, and you would look at this team completely differently. But yeah, I mean, you know, they got a right tough schedule. They got Clemson and Georgia for starters, and then Miami and Virginia Tech are going to be really good. They go to Louisville, So it's tough, but they're a team that's typically in most games. And if you've got a defense that's a little better and this offense, like you said, they get a lot of pieces back, there's, you know, it's not unreasonable. I'm not going to bet on it, but I'm not saying it's not going to happen either.
What happened with Lucas Johnson over the weekend, the number two quarterback, or at least he's competing to be the number two quarterback? Right. Reports were from you, as a matter of fact, that is a lower right leg injury?
Yeah, after the scrimmage, Paul was saying that he'd had an injury, and then at the fan day that afternoon, you could see he was his right lower leg, his foot were in a kind of like a cast or a brace of some sort that was immobilized, and I think he had a scooter too. So I think hopefully find out a little more today. Obviously not good. However long he's out, but that actually kind of changes things. You know, the other likely number two would be Tobias Oliver, who's a redshirt freshman, kid from Warner Robins, who's supposed to be really good, but obviously has less time in this offense than Lucas Johnson had. So something a lot to happen, but not the best news for Tech at this point.
Talking some Georgia Tech. That's right, Jackets fans. Dog Report comes up at 4, but we try to be fair and balanced here on Dukes and Bell.
Always fair and balanced.
As Ken Segura joins us from the AJC covering the Jackets. Taquan Marshall, and this is one of the things, Ken, we've talked about when you're down, when Georgia Tech finds themselves down by more than a touchdown. And I know that Paul had a conversation where, I guess, balance came up in offense, saying, look, you know, Georgia and Alabama weren't exactly balanced. But, I mean, is that always just going to be the we're never going to be that good at throwing the football as far as completion percentage or attempts?
I think in terms of completion percentage, yeah, they'll never be a team that completes 60 or 65 or probably even 55. I think Justin Thomas, who is clearly the best quarterback that Paul Johnson's had, I think his high was something around, 52, 53. And I think that just kind of it's because of the way the offense is. They're not going to throw a lot of short stuff. The passing offense is generated from play action fakes, and defenses get sucked in up around the option, and then you send, whoever it is, Ricky Bune or Demaryius Thomas in the pass down the field, and you throw a 40-yard pass, chances are, it's a 50% shot. And so it'll always be like, I think it can be effective, obviously when you're completing 20 yards an attempt, or excuse me, 20 yards per completion, then you're willing to take a lower completion percentage. But obviously with Taquan Marshall, he completed 37% last year for a variety of reasons. I think, the protection wasn't great. A lot of rain games, but that's got to be better. It's got to be around 50%. If they can do that, then it'll be kind of a typical Tech offense that we've seen in the past.
Ken, let's talk about up front. Four of the offensive linemen back with at least 6 starts or more. Right. This is why I think a lot of people are high on Georgia Tech, because that offense, you got to get acclimated to it. But you've got guys up front who know how to do it, who know how to play it, and what Paul Johnson is looking for.
Yeah, I mean, you compare back to some other teams, and this one, the 2014 team, the one that won the Orange Bowl, is kind of the standard that everyone else's other teams are matched against. Not to say that this is going to happen, but there's a lot of similarities in that way with the offense. A lot of pieces are back. The quarterback was new in 2014, but the running backs, the offensive line, the wide receiver back, and so, they're probably never going to do it with superstars, but if you can do it with guys that just know the offense inside and out,
right,
and know how to make it work, which is what they have here, then that bodes well. The offensive line starting with Parker Braun is a left guard, who's all ACC last year, and is on all the watch lists. They ought to be good.
I mean, there's really no pressure for Paul, because obviously he's got a contract extension. He's got enough money where he doesn't really need to be coaching anyway. Not to put his business out there. But
you just did.
Too late. But it seems like the money is trickling in, because I've seen some of the capital improvements. We saw the stuff that you had the pictures of, the new locker room facilities. They got this new, they got a new jumbotron on the outside of the stadium when people come in, where they do the Jackets walking in. So it seems like, enough people have his back in the program, yes?
Yeah. There's so many parts of the fan base that are, particularly when you don't go to bowl games 2 of the past 3 years, that it's obviously easy to point the finger at him. But I think, obviously Todd Stansbury is firmly in his corner. I think the people with the money are as well. And I think some of those people would say kind of some of the things that Paul's been saying for a long time, is that the locker room needs to be updated, and the different facilities matters, and the being with Russell and all that. And so there's things that are kind of pointing in the right direction. And it's interesting. Paul is, I think, is in a much better place, just kind of mindset-wise of having the things he needs and feeling like he's got support. And so we'll see how kind of that translates. But, yeah, he's the guy, and I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
Back to work today for Georgia Tech as they're on the practice field. The first game, what do you expect for this team?
Well, they're playing Alcorn State September 1st. I would hope they'd win. If not, I'm sure we'll be talking not long after that. But they go to USF the game after that, and that's when it's going to be a game that should tell a little more. You know, it's on the road against a team that was pretty good last year, had a lot of turnover. But yeah, it should be a good test. Second week of the season.
It's a great test for that young 3-4 defense.
Yes,
you know, to see how they respond with Nate Woody, because that's an offense. I mean, that's a dynamic offense, which has now been exported up to FSU. And that's the thing, you know, Ken touched on it. You know, if you had been able to win, when I say you, Georgia Tech, the Tennessee game, you wonder if the whole season takes a whole different shake and a different, you know, there's a new shade to it, if you will, that they would have had the confidence to finish some of the games that they lost.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, you know, that Miami game, I don't know if you remember about it, but, you know, they were up by, I think, 2 scores in the second half, and then they just kind of gave it away. And that sort of game, yeah, you win that game, and everything kind of. I mean, they were ahead of Duke also by 2 scores early, and so that's, you know, they got blown out at the end. But yeah, I think the Miami game really kind of took a lot out of them. And so yeah, it's you know, the woulda coulda shoulda game is something I think every team can play when you have a season like Tech did. But yeah, I think there's a lot of validity to it. There's a chance for last year's team to be much much better than it was.
Ken Segura, get ready for Georgia Tech football.
That's right, Kenny, baby.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on with us. Good stuff from Ken Segura. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll talk Dogs coming up at 4. But when we come back, Mike, his big mouth has gotten him in trouble again. Find out what NFLer has been suspended next on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.